The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Bob Dio, Bob engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, March the 15th, 2019. We are live during the noon hour on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts available for you at buckmastershow.com. Our media partners, we like to thank them every Thursday, at least every Thursday. If I could, I'd thank them 24/7. Tucson Sentinel, thank you very much. TucsonSentinel.com prominently displays a link to the Buckmaster Show, as does the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert News, or Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview is with United States Representative Ann Kirkpatrick, who was elected last November to represent the 2nd Congressional District of Arizona, which covers much of Tucson and southeastern Arizona. With me in studio is Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and Congresswoman Kirkpatrick joining us from the nation's capital on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Congresswoman, how are you today?
I'm really good. Yeah, thank you, Bill and Bob and Tim, for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
You know, as a United States representative representing a district where, of course, 8 years ago, there was an assassination attempt, news out of New Zealand, I'm sure you're especially sensitive to that tragic news.
I'm absolutely brokenhearted to hear about that. January 8th, 2011 will never fade from our memories and from our hearts and from pain at what happened. And we've got to do something about this. I will tell you that I did co-sponsor and vote for H.R. 8, which was a bipartisan bill that would require background checks on firearm sales. We've got to do something about this. You know, I'm a grandmother. I have three little grandsons, and I worry about their future.
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I was just going to say that New Zealand, I'm sure, is never going to be the same. It's a place that most people perceive as being extremely safe, and then this incident. In fact, the elected officials in New Zealand, the only one, Tim and Congresswoman, that actually have 24/7 protection is the Prime Minister of New Zealand. So I'm sure that will probably change after this horrible incident.
Yeah, most likely that will. It has to. So, yeah, you know, we've got to change the culture that, you know, guns are a way to solve problems. They're not. We need to come together, regardless of our points of view, and talk it out.
Here's Tim Steller, the Star.
You pointed to guns as, you know, a reason for this, but of course, you could also imagine that there's all kinds of other things going on that cause this massacre. The anti-Muslim rhetoric has been rife and growing. Would you not agree, or do you see it pretty much as a guns issue?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Tim. I mean, it's basically accepting our differences and figuring out how we can work together. One of the things that I'm really interested in is election reform. So, co-sponsored H.R. 1, which is For the People Act, and it's a bold, transformative legislation to put the power back in the hands of the people and restore people's faith that government works for the public interest, not special interest. And we need to all come together. I think that's one of the things I'm really, really good at doing. You know, I co-sponsored a bill with Congressman Gosar regarding election reform, and we, you know, we care about that regardless of party.
Well, one of the issues that has come up recently is the approval by the Army Corps of Engineers of the Rosemont mine. You reacted negatively to that. Is there anything you can do, or is there anything that can be done or changed as a result of this?
Yeah, you know, I've come out years ago opposed to the Rosemont mine, primarily because of the effect it would have on water. And so, you know, I'm doing a lot of work. I'm on the Energy and Water Appropriations Subcommittee, and we're doing a lot of study about water for the future of Arizona. You know, I just actually on the plane last night ran into Senator John Kyle, who is very knowledgeable about water, and just asked him if he'd work with me to figure out what we can do for the future of water in Arizona.
Can you be more specific about what your concerns are with respect to the Rosemont mine and water?
Yeah, my concern is contamination of the aquifer that is located right by the Rosemont mine. And you know, in Arizona, we deal with a lack of water, and how do we allocate that? And groundwater is a big issue for us, and how do we protect our aquifers from contamination?
How is this mine project that you opposed different from the one that you supported back when you were representing the District 1? I'm talking about the mine near Superior, I believe.
Sure.
You supported that.
Yeah, no. Thank you for that question, because, you know, I'm not opposed to mining. The question is where. Where is it best to do mining? I mean, look, in this day and age, I mean, Arizona is rich with copper resources, and, you know, everybody who has an iPhone or an iPad relies on copper. But the Resolution Copper Mine was in a copper corridor. That area had been mined for over 100 years, and the people in the community wanted that. The difference is the people around Rosemont don't want that mine. It doesn't make sense to them, and we don't need to have it there.
All right, let's go to the live line. Rick Grinnell is with us, and Rick, of course, has been a very long time supporter of the Rosemont mine, and Rick, former mayoral candidate in Tucson. Rick, do you have a comment about Rosemont?
Well, yes, thank you. Congresswoman, it's nice to finally hear you. But I got to disagree with you on the water issue, and I would invite you to actually meet with proponents of the mine or the mining company, do a tour, and actually get the facts on the water. There's been so much distortion coming out of the left and the opposition, and not everybody that lives around this mining area disapproves. And I'm very concerned with sort of the lack of understanding of the need. Population has increased three times to 7.7 billion people from around the world since 1950. The need of minerals and mining materials has increased over nine times. We are running to a point where we won't be able to produce enough copper for the needs of not only our own country, but for the rest of the world. And I would really ask that you would please come down and visit with us so that we could get a real understanding of what your objections are versus what reality is, and so that everybody has a fair playing field here from your perspective.
Okay, thank you, Rick. Here is the Congresswoman's response.
Rick, thank you so much. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, I want to hear from you. I appreciate your point of view, and you know, one of the top priorities for me is being accessible to people in the district. You know, we already did our first Congress on the Corner. We're going to do our town hall this Wednesday from 6 to 7:30 at Pima Community College. You know, and hearing from different points of view, I appreciate that. You know, I grew up in a bipartisan family. My mother's family were Republican ranchers in Arizona, and my dad's family were Democratic businessmen. And I always say, you know, it made for interesting dinner conversation because everybody had a point of view. But it's important to hear those points of view and to talk it out. But, Rick, I just want to tell you that, you know, my goal is to build a strong, diversified 21st century economy in Arizona, and especially in southern Arizona. You know, southern Arizona lags a little bit in terms of our economic growth compared to the rest of the state. And you know, it really is about just creating those good-paying jobs for the 21st century and making people's lives better.
Tim, did you have some more on the mind before we switch topics?
No, let's move on.
Okay, we'll move on in a moment. But first, I want to tell people about my favorite bakery in town. That's Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be back with Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick on the live line and Tim Steller here in studio. But first, Mona's Danish Bakery has some very exciting news. We've been telling people about it now for a couple of weeks. Yes, the hot breakfast is coming. Within a matter of days, they'll be serving the hot breakfast at Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Tim, have you been up there yet?
Yep.
You have, and you had a good...
You know I love that stuff.
I
Come
know
on.
You do. You had a great great assortment of pastries.
I have to try to avoid it.
And the breads and
I love
all
it too
of that.
Much. Stop, open, Bill,
okay,
stop.
Open for lunch right now, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's, DanishBakery.com, and, of course, there's a link at BuckmasterShow.com. Tim, when we come back after the break, what area did you want to get into with the
Congresswoman? Oh,
there's
so much to talk about. But
what's at the top of your list?
Impeachment's at the top of my list.
Okay, so we'll get into that right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, United States Representative Ann Kirkpatrick, representing the 2nd Congressional District of Arizona. With me in studio, Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And now, as promised, Tim, the floor is yours.
Yeah, Congressman Kirkpatrick, I wanted to ask you about Speaker Pelosi's comments on the idea of impeachment, essentially considering it almost off the table or not something worth doing if the Senate isn't already on board for the removal of the president. What are your thoughts on impeaching or pursuing impeachment of President Trump?
But I also want to let the listeners know that we already passed our first bill, which was the Udall Land Exchange Completion Act. This bill allows the city of Tucson to fully utilize Udall Park. And so, you know, we're all about delivering for the district and being accessible. As I mentioned, we've already done a Congress on our corner. Both of our offices are open in Tucson and Sierra Vista. So I encourage everybody to reach out to my very experienced staff to address the issues that concern their daily lives. You know, I'm a former Pima County prosecutor, clerked for Barbara Lawal, who's our current county attorney. I really believe that the Mueller investigation should be complete and that there should be a report to Congress that's made public to the people. Once we get a report, then we can talk about whether or not there's something impeachable that's been revealed. But that's how I worked as a prosecutor. You know, we always took the evidence from the investigators, our detectives, our police officers, and then decided how to go forward. And I think that's the same thing we have to do in terms of impeachment.
So it sounds like you have a more open posture than the speaker expressed the other day toward it. You just want to wait and see then?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I think that is exactly right. As a former prosecutor, let's see what the evidence is and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up one comment the president made the other day that the impeachment talk kind of put me in mind of. He said in an interview with Breitbart News, quote, "I can tell you I have the support of the police, the support of the military, the support of the bikers for Trump. I have the tough people, but they don't play it tough until they go to a certain point, and then it would be very bad, very bad."
Hmm.
I think
there's been a concern about that comment expressed in terms of does that incite violence, and I think it goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the hour in terms of what's happened in New Zealand. And you know, violence is not a solution to problems. The solution to problems is coming together as human beings, as Americans, as Arizonans, as Tucsonans, and figuring out solutions, real solutions that are meaningful to the difficult problems that we face. And I will tell you, I mean, one of the problems we're facing right now is what's happening at the border. And so, you know, I co-sponsored H.R. 6, which is the Dream and Promise Act, to protect our patriotic dreamers and TPS, Temporary Protected Status and Deferred Enforcement Departure Americans, who make America more American by providing a pathway to citizenship for eligible dreamers and securing permanent residence for those people with TPS and DED status. So, you know, let's talk about the people that we need to have in our country who make it a better place and talk about more tolerance and diversity.
I remember back in the campaign, I asked you a question about where the border issues rank among the your top priorities, and you ranked them relatively low compared to how they're usually ranked in CD2. You told me something to the effect of that people are a lot more concerned with typical kitchen table issues, even though they live near the border. Do you still think that's the case with this kind of wave of Central American asylum seekers coming in larger numbers?
Yeah, I do. I have to tell you, Tim, when I'm out and about in the district, the number one thing I hear about is health care. People want to make sure that they've got good health care and access to health care. Seniors do not want to see cuts in Medicare or Social Security. And, families want to be able to raise their children with health care and make sure they've got access to that. So I also co-sponsored the Veterans Access to Child Care Act, which provides veterans cost-free child care when they receive VA health care services. And so I think that, people are concerned about themselves and their families and how we move on in a healthy way.
One of the questions, Tim, that came in, both you and I asked on our respective Facebook pages for what our listeners and our followers would like us to ask the Congresswoman, and one of the questions had to do with health care. One of our Facebook friends said Medicare for all. Was this something that you opposed initially, Congresswoman, and now supported, or what?
No, I do support Medicare for all. There are a lot of different versions of that, but the version that I support is allowing people to buy into Medicare at any age. So this was something that I tried to get in the Affordable Care Act when we were first debating it in 2009 and 2010. My idea at that time was allow people gradually reduce the age for people to buy into Medicare, and I still support that. So Medicare is a system that works. People like it. I've never heard anyone say they didn't like their Medicare. So let's let people, give them the choice to buy into Medicare. It really solves a problem we've got in Arizona, where many of the counties only have one insurance carrier in the pool under the Affordable Care Act. So Medicare would give them a second choice.
Now, you mentioned in the campaign something to the effect of that you would not want that unless it could be paid for. Wondering, I know one of the big problems with Medicare has been the premiums paid, charged, have been insufficient for providers to cover costs. How do you solve that problem if you're allowing anybody to buy into Medicare?
Well, first of all, they're buying into it, but you're right. I mean, we need to lower the costs of Medicare. One of the things I do is put together working groups on specific issues in the district, and I have a medical working group we met, and the consensus is broad spectrum, and it includes nurses, nutritionists, healthcare providers, doctors, hospitals, and the consensus in that group was that prevention is the way that we lower medical costs. So we need to put more money into prevention of serious medical conditions. That's the way we do it.
We had another question coming in. What is your stand on the so-called Green New Deal? What do you think about that?
Well, I agree with the concept that we need to address climate change. There's no question about that. But I'm studying that bill just to see, what specifics it creates. And, I think we need bold action to address climate change, and we need to create clean new jobs.
How is your time going in Washington? We really, this is the first time we've had a chance to have you on the program since you were sworn in. How does it feel this time around for you?
Well, we hit the ground running. I have an experienced staff. Many of my previous staff came back to work with me, and they know the issues. They know how everything works. We've been extremely productive. And I just want to, thank Ron Barber for coming out of retirement to be my district director, and he's put together a great staff in Tucson. And please contact our office. you know, let your listeners know. You can contact us at Kirkpatrick. I'm very accessible. And we're going to be doing more, you know, Congresses on Your Corner. I will say that, you know, the first Congress on your corner that we did at the Safeway, we had almost 100 people show up and just come and have a conversation with me about what their concerns are in the district. And it was a really great exchange. I look forward to doing more of that.
Here's a very simple question, I think, but
might be the most charged one you ask.
Someone okay. was wondering, and actually it's our friend Matt Russell, who will be coming on later in our show today, who does our weekend watch. He's the restaurant food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business, wants me to ask you, what's your favorite local restaurant here in the Tucson area, Ann Kirkpatrick?
My favorite restaurant is A La Carte downtown.
Mm.
They serve a great mimosa.
Mm.
So
I was
recommend
there yesterday.
It.
I just had a cup of tea. You ever had the Rothschild there, named after the mayor?
Oh, I haven't had that. Yeah. I look forward to doing that.
Yeah, do it.
Okay, Tim, we've got a couple more minutes. Do you have a couple more questions?
Yeah. One of our commentators asked, what's your position on the U.S.-Canada-Mexico trade agreement? I know there's been some resistance to it from the Democratic side in its current form. Would you want it changed before approval, or do you think it's okay to go as it is?
You know, we just had the administrator before our committee asking about what really is in that agreement. So NAFTA is a big deal for Southern Arizona. 40% of our economy comes from the South. And so we care about what happens. When NAFTA was initially passed, you know, Arizona lost a lot of its economy. So we're looking at that, questioning the administrator about exactly what he has in mind regarding that.
Tim, anything else? There was a question that came in about helping homeless veterans here. Is there anything that could be done for that?
Well, yeah, it strikes me how we hear often about how, people complaining that we're helping all these asylum seekers, but not doing anything for our own homeless or homeless veterans specifically. Is there anything happening on the federal level about that?
Yeah, you know, the homelessness of veterans is a serious issue, and you know, I really care about our veterans. And of course, we have the Southern Arizona Veterans Hospital here in Tucson, and they have a program addressing that. A lot of the homeless veterans have mental health issues, and I applaud our Southern Arizona Veterans Hospital for their efforts to reach out to those homeless veterans. They provide showers, they provide apartments. I mean, one of the things we know is that to really address those concerns, we have to provide them with permanent housing, and that's being done by finding them apartments where they can live, and then they can start to get the services that they deserve, that they've earned. I've always said that veterans' benefits are earned benefits. They're not an entitlement, and we need to make sure that they have access to that.
You know, speaking of benefits, the new Trump budget talks about cutting domestic spending in 2020. And I wonder if our seniors are worried at all about that their benefits may be cut.
Oh, yeah, they are. I mean, you know, when I'm out and about in the district and talking with groups, and especially at my town halls and my Congress on Your Corner, seniors are very concerned about whether or not they're going to continue to get Medicare and Social Security. So those are earned benefits. They're not entitlements. You know, people paid into those programs. And it's, for many, many people, the only thing they have to live on in their retirement years.
All right. I just wanted to get your reaction also to today's New York Times editorial, Cracks in the Senate's Red Wall. We had a dozen Republican senators who defied the president on his emergency declaration. How do you see that? Do you think this is a big deal?
We have three branches of government. You know, we have the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. And our system of democracy is built on checks and balances. And those senators appreciate that. You know, they're willing to stand up and be a check on the executive, and that's what we're meant to do, and that's what we're elected to do.
All right, Ann Kirkpatrick, thank you very much. Tim, did you have anything else?
That's
okay,
great.
We're gonna out of time here, and we appreciate
thank you, Bill
we appreciate
and Tim. Thank
time.
You so much, and Rick, and all your listeners. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. We're coming up on 12:35 on the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today with Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick. Tim Steller will be with us for our next portion of the program. Lots to talk about with Tim. We'll take the break right here and be back on Buckmaster on 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Everybody's talking.
Oh, wow. I thought you were about to break into song. You sounded just right.
I won't get into that. Tim Steller is with me. It's the Buckmaster Show on 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. You can search for 10:30, The Voice. Of course, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you can also follow me on Twitter and take a look at my Facebook page as well. And Tim Steller also has a very, very active Twitter account and Facebook. We've kind of talked about this before. This isn't, if you had to say, is Tucson a Twitter or Facebook town? I'd say Facebook.
Oh, by far, yeah, absolutely.
And why do you think that is?
Well, I don't know. I think Facebook is a lot more popular overall.
Mm-hmm.
By far. I mean, if you look at, you know, for example, what gets hits, how articles get hits online from our paper, you know, other than going through our website,
right.
Facebook is almost always the second
yeah.
highest source. So it's just more used by
but for your business, for the news business, you use Twitter a lot.
I do. I find the format better. It's quicker, and you can get bogged. For me, I get bogged down more easily on Facebook. So lately, mm-hmm. I just post there. I post a story, post a question. I'll read mm-hmm. what people say and not get mm-hmm. too involved in arguments or anything.
All right, 12:40 on the Buckmaster Show. We have Mr. Steller with us, and there are a couple of things I want to talk to him about right off the bat. Rosemont's the hot issue right now, and I know you're going to be writing after the show. You'll be going over to a coffee shop and putting the column together, but the topic will be Rosemont.
Yeah, and water is the subtopic.
Well, you heard the discussion,
mm-hmm.
and you know how people still feel very strongly in this town about that Rosemont's going to bring jobs and that we're a mining state mm-hmm. and this and that. How do you think this is all going to play out? I mean, we know there are going to be legal challenges.
Yeah, continuing legal challenges. But honestly, you know, as long as the administration remains as friendly to development of all sorts as it does, you know, appeals up the chain will likely benefit the mining side. There may be ways to stop the mine in the courts. And the part that I have a lot of trouble with the argument that Rick Grinnell made and that's been made for more than a decade now in Tucson that, you know, modern society needs copper and therefore we ought to have this mine. I mean, mm-hmm. copper is a global commodity. It's mm-hmm. it's produced all over the world. We're fortunate enough to have one of the hot spots where it's also produced. But the fact that
what about this argument? There's a shortage of copper worldwide.
That's not showing much in the price. The price is up a bit, but uh-huh. you know, it's not that high. I think the last I looked, it was $2.90 a pound, and that's good for the companies, but not great.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not showing a major shortage, and not to mention there's a variety of other projects. So the point is, I mean, it's not like we can. This is not a socialist industry. It's not a national copper mine. They're going to sell the copper on the global market, and if things go as usual, it'll be used in China. I mean, so you know, we'll be taking copper out of the ground in Arizona and then shipping it to China. So the whole national "we need this for our country" argument is just bogus.
What about the jobs?
Yeah, jobs are great, except they only last 20 years. I mean, you can't even make a career out of it. So. That's always been my fundamental argument. The benefit is clear It's good jobs for the people who work there. Although honestly, mining is so mechanized now that it's fewer and fewer jobs at any given mine. But that clearly, those will be good jobs. It'll lead to an economic benefit, which would be mitigated, of course, by the detriment caused by the environmental destruction, the mining vehicles on State Route 83, et cetera. But for me, the thing I've never been able to get over with the mine is its short lifespan. You know, 20 or so years for permanent destruction of that area. Now, you know, we've got other mines around and some abandoned mines that existed for decades longer than that, some that are operating now. And so I've never been able to get past the fact that you can't even make a single person's career out of working there.
All right. Senator McSally, kind of a double-edged sword, of course, voting. She decided to vote with President Trump on the national emergency. What's your thinking on that? You articulated a little of that in the column today.
Yeah, I mean, she's politically speaking, and of course, all these votes are political. It's tough for her. She's in the same bind she's always been in, which is that to stay true with her Republican base, she's got to not cross the president very much. We saw her before she ran for Senate the first time go from a Trump skeptic to a Trump fan. And what I saw in what she did was kind of find a way to get in line with Trump. So the objection that she had was that, or the concern that she expressed was that taking money for the president's taking money for a border wall would hurt military construction projects. And once she was assured that none of the projects in Arizona would be losing money, she was okay with his emergency declaration. Now, first of all, those assurances are very slippery, as I wrote about in today's column. I think they mostly depend on Congress in the future backfilling money that the president might take for a border wall. So it's possible that that money won't be the assurances rest on future action by Congress, and that's the hitch.
If she had voted against the emergency declaration, how soon would we be hearing she would be primaried?
Yeah, today, right?
Today.
I mean, she
There's
might be
no
anyway.
No question.
Yeah, so
There's
she.
No question.
So the right side of the Republican Party is already uncomfortable with her. Kelly Ward obviously ran against her and is now the chair of the state GOP. So, yeah, she's extremely vulnerable to a primary challenge. So that's why I view it as kind of finding a way to be in line with the president.
Let's see if we can work in Richard here on the live line at 790-2040. Richard, you had a comment about Medicare.
Well, my question, Bill, to my favorite people on radio is that, Ann wants some type of buy-in into Medicare. And in the meantime, of course, seniors across the country that she's running into are worried about our national debt and deficit and how it can affect them. So, but my concern is Ann's never specific. You know, we'd like to know what's that buy-in going to look like? What's the national debt going to happen based upon this buy-in? Are we talking about just Medicare Part A and B, the $135 a month? You know, where are the specifics?
Yeah,
it's easy for these politicians to go along, but, you know, come on.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And the bill that she signed on to as a co-sponsor is very generic at this stage. You're right. Those are the questions we need to ask as time goes on and as more specific proposals are floated.
Tim, you wrote about e-scooters. I think that was in the column Sunday.
Wednesday.
Okay.
Time flies.
Boy, it sure does. Well, the next day I had City Councilman Paul Durham on the show, and he says, let's give it a try, which they're going to do for 6 months. And his feeling was that if it's going to take people who may jump in the car to run a mile to run errands, and they'll use an e-scooter, he thinks it's worth a try.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the position I took in the paper, too, that, you know, it's a six-month trial pilot project that they've established, and the rules are getting tighter and tighter around the trial. So, and it can be terminated at any time. So I suspect this is going to end up being a bit of a fiasco. However, I think something that those of us who talk about local news and issues tend to misunderstand is that this, we are not the market. We tend to be older. We tend to be car drivers. We tend, you know, to live all over mm-hmm. the outskirts of town or, you know, all the various neighborhoods yeah. of town. Yeah. But this it's generally going to be younger people using the scooters, generally people who, you know, have a part-time job and also are students and are, you know, mucking around in between. So, I mean, I think that's what convinces me that it's worth a try to see how they use it. And as Kylie Walczak, I quoted in the column, said, the neat thing about these scooters is that they can end up anywhere. And so where they end up shows you how it's being used. So it's likely that they'll end up cluttering Fourth Avenue and all those places, mm-hmm. but it's possible they'll end up in some other neighborhood that we hadn't thought of before as a focus of these.
They leave the scooter?
Yeah, you just
Well, how do they know where to go pick it up?
So it has a GPS. Oh. It has a GPS thing. So you can way you pick it up is you have the app on your phone and you just look for where they're sending a signal out,
okay.
and then you go walk and find it.
Okay.
And then at night, the people either like independent contractors or employees go pick them up and stage them for the next day, charge them, and then stage them for the uh-huh. next day, uh-huh. so that users will slide their cards and use them in the morning.
What's the fee for using
I can't remember what it is.
Is it fairly reasonable?
Yeah, depending on the length of time. They can go, as I recall, up to 15 miles on a single charge. Mm-hmm. But most people are taking much shorter trips.
Yeah. Bob Dio just sent me a little note. He's used them in San Diego.
Yeah. San Diego is a great example that a lot of us know because we visit there if we can in the mm-hmm. summer. And it has been I think that's a good example of what not to do. It's been mm-hmm. a real problem, especially in the more tightly densely populated areas of town. You'll find them everywhere. San Diego has barely any controls on them. And they've got like 10 times as many as we're going to have in our little experiment here. I suspect it's not going to work out. If the university isn't allowing them on campus,
right.
which they aren't,
right.
then that says
that cuts
something.
A big part of their market
out. It cuts a big part of the market right. out, and it also says this is the place that could use them more than anything.
Right, right.
And they view it as an excessive burden. So it's pretty likely that's the way it'll work out in Tucson as a whole. But, you know, the council said, hey, let's give it a try. You know, there's always a pressure by the businesses to let them, you know, and trot out their business. And so we'll see.
All right. Tim Steller, whose column today talks a little bit not only about McSally, you also kind of listed who's in and who's out. Well, I guess anybody could say they're in for the mayor's race or the three wards that are.
Yeah, have sure.
I mean, anybody could say, oh, I'm running for mayor, but you got to gather
signatures.
Yeah, that will determine in June. Yeah, I think it's the end of June. We'll see who really is on the ballot.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting to see that there are Republicans who have submitted to file to run for mayor.
Right.
I just, you know, they're not well-known people. And
household names.
They don't necessarily have significant party support.
All right. Tim Steller, thank you very much. We'll look for your work coming up in the Star, the Arizona Daily Star, Sunday edition. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Bill.
Coming up next, Matt Russell, Weekend Watch on Buckmaster on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back.
May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
I'm Brett Holland, president of Gecko Pest Management. At Gecko Pest Management, we believe the best defense is a good offense. We establish an undetectable zone around your home and critical areas where we know termites want to enter. When termites travel through this zone, they unknowingly gather and then transfer material to their nest mates that soon gets spread throughout the colony and wipes them out. Eliminate the colonies and there is no threat to the home. Here at Gecko Pest Management, we are proud of our Better Business Bureau A-plus rating and the Angie's List Super Service Award. Visit us at geckopest.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Stir it up, baby. It's Weekend Watch with Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist Matt Russell. Weekend Watch is presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Road trip, baby. Just a 3-hour drive from Tucson. Visit Southwest New Mexico for the complete southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities. Do some outdoor events like hiking in the Gila or just hanging out in historic Silver City. Let's welcome Matt Russell now. And if it's Weekend Watch, it's time for another restaurant opening.
Yes, Weekend Watch is your trusted source for local restaurant opening news. This week's opening is one that will be music to the ears of burger lovers, Bill. It's called Divine Bovine.
What?
On Speedway in Wilmot. And these half-pound patties are all anchored by a unique blend of brisket and chuck and short rib. Now, there are more than 10 signature burgers in all, but one that sings to me is something called the Funny Farmhand with creamy peanut butter, jalapeno raspberry jam, candied bacon, white cheddar cheese, sweet and hot pickles, and I'll take mine with a side of their triple fried fries. Divine Bovine is open this weekend.
Boy, you're going to need a boarding house reach with two hands even to pick up that baby. That's hey, let's wear the green here. It's St. Patty's Day weekend.
Absolutely. The luck of the Irish will be with me all weekend long in the countdown to the big day on Sunday. And starting tomorrow morning at 11 and going through Sunday night, our friends down at O'Malley's and The Hut will transform their shared area down there on 4th Avenue into a collaborative St. Patty's block party. We're talking Irish food and entertainment, a convoy of food trucks, live music and DJs, multiple bars, all giving you every possible expression of this celebration of Irish culture. Go green on 4th Avenue this weekend, Bill.
Some folks like a little nip of the Irish whiskey on this important weekend for the Irish folks.
Absolutely. You know, St. Patty's Day is all about the cuisine, but another way to transport your taste buds to Tipperary on Sunday is to enjoy a nice selection of Irish whiskeys. Batch Cafe and Bar downtown on Congress has put together an impressive portfolio of nearly 30 of them for Sunday's bash, and they will all be 20% off. I think any of these triple distilled beauties will pair well with Batch's corned beef sandwiches, green donuts, and you can't make this up, bowls of Lucky Charm cereal, which I think makes Batch a must for Shamrock Sunday this weekend.
What's in the Inside Tucson Business column this week?
Well, whoever said you can't drink wine from a can has not met Todd Bostock from Dos Cabezas Wine Works in Sonoyta. You can read all about his canned sparkling wine in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Hey, I liked your question for Ann Kirkpatrick. Favorite restaurant? And her answer was?
Was Cafe a la Carte, and she gave a hearty endorsement to their mimosa. So I'm going to have the Rothschild sandwich, as endorsed by Tim Steller, with a Kirkpatrick mimosa. That sounds like a breakfast for champions.
There you go, Matt. Have a great Awareness of the Green weekend. Thank you, my friend.
Right back at you.
The Bill Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. On behalf of Bob Dio, who's already wearing a little bit of the green here to get a jump on St. Patrick's Day. My engineer, producer, Bob, thank you so much. Rose Brandt, my wonderful assistant who makes sure all of our programs are up on the web. Everybody here at Bustos Media, thank you for your support. Steve Rivera is coming up next. All of us hope you have a great weekend.